So the theme for February, true love. If you were to just Google what is true love? True love is a powerful emotion that involves caring for someone's well-being, happiness, even when it requires sacrifice. True love is said to be unconditional, compassionate, understanding, and authentic. I'm sure that's all the things that all of us strive for in life. If you were to just Google what is love, love is an intense feeling, deep affection, a great interest, a pleasure in someone or something. And so people, we know that in life we've learned to love other people, our husbands, our wives, our kids. But also there's things that we love, hobbies, activities, experiences, relationships, friendships, food. I think all of us 100% on board with that. We love food, nature, personal achievements, love. Love. What is love? And love has changed. I don't know if you noticed over time. With our age, love has changed. With circumstances, love has changed. And the culture, believe it or not, has changed. Up to this date, there's been over 100 million love songs. There's been thousands and thousands of poems, books, novels, shows, social media posts. What? Reflecting, representing. Love. Movie stars, athletes, social media personalities. Many have led. Many have guided. Many have even molded some of us in here this morning, each of us, in what I'd like to call today the image of love. The month of February is true love, but today's topic is the image of love. And so this morning we have a few stories that we're going to read through to describe what happened back then, to portray, to picture what the image of love is. And is it the correct image of love that God has for me? So with that, we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, starting at verse 1. In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab, the Israelite army, to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed, walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uri the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her, and when she came to the palace, he slept with her. She had just completed the purification rites after finishing her menstrual period. Then she returned home. And so this morning, the number one thing that I want to talk about, the image of love, as we see in a man, fortunately, King David, who was regarded by many as one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had. But this image of love that David had in his heart, because we know that King David, he already had more than one wife. So he had a few wives. This man, King David, said he did not go to war. He was supposed to go to war. But instead of going to war, his heart was already confused. His heart was already trembling. His heart had already prodded and moved him to do something that he knew that he shouldn't do. And so what did he do? He went to his rooftop at the top of the day to look out and to see something that he shouldn't have seen, and then to take something, to take someone who did not belong to him. The consequences of this man's actions, there was a man who was killed, there was a baby that died. There is always consequences for the wrong action. And so number one, we look at the image of love that is strictly designed by sight. And is love this morning? And there are people, come on, many of us in here, at times in our younger life, how many saw a guy or a girl and said, I am in love. This is true love, baby, true love, right? We know that the image of love, it is based on sight alone, is not a true image of love. And this for King David is something that he struggled with. This is something that he dealt with. And unfortunately, this is something that he suffered for because he took what was not his. Deuteronomy 22:22 says, if a man's discovered committing adultery, both he and the women must die. In this way, you will purge Israel of such evil. Can you imagine? This is written in the Bible. It's so awesome. But if God, if we still executed the law today, how many people would not be standing and alive this morning? Hebrews 13:4 says, give honor to marriage, remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. 2 Peter 2:12 says, false teachers are like unthinking animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. They scoff at things they don't understand. Like animals, they'll be destroyed. Their destruction is their reward, for they harm on all the harm that they've done. They love to indulge in evil pleasure in broad daylight. They disgrace and disdain among each other. They delight in deception, even as they eat with you in fellowship and your meals. 2 Peter 2:14, they commit adultery with their eyes. Their desire for sin is never satisfied. They lure unstable people into sin, and they are well trained in greed. They will live under God's curse. And King David does something, and he did a few mistakes, probably more than just a few in his lifetime, that he paid the price for. And every one of us this morning, we realize that in life, we all will pay a price, unfortunately, a consequence of sin. This man, a great king who had a heart for God, but yet fell to an image of love that he had in his heart, based solely on just what he saw. Second story this morning comes to us from Genesis 19, starting verse 17. And it says, when they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, run for your lives, and don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, and you will be swept away. Oh no, my lord, Lot begged. You have been so gracious to me. Save my life. You have shown such great kindness, but I cannot go to the mountains. Disaster would catch up to me there, and I would soon die. See, there's a small village nearby. Please let me go there instead. Don't you see how small it is? Then my life will be spared. Verse 21. All right, the angel said, I'm going to grant your request. I will not destroy the little village, but hurry, escape to it, for I can do nothing until you arrive there. This explains why that village, known as Zoar, which means little place, Lot reached the village just as the sun was rising over the horizon, and then the Lord rained down fire and burning sulfur from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 25, he utterly destroyed them along with the cities, villages, and the plain, wiping out all the people and every bit of vegetation. But Lot's wife looked back as she was falling behind him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. So second image of love, remember, number one is the image of love based on sight alone. Number two, the second image of love is many people cannot get out of the past. They can't stop looking back. Everyone knew with Lot, his wife, and his daughters, God was going to destroy a city. God was going to destroy this city. And he asked them, I want you to run, and I want you to get over here, and don't look back. But this woman, unfortunately, we know that for whatever reason, she decided to look back because what she was leaving was far more important in her head than where she was headed. Everything that she was leaving behind for whatever reason in Sodom and Gomorrah, whatever it was that she was leaving behind was far more important to her than what she thought was ahead. Interestingly enough, if you Google love songs and movies and why people watch them, there's a couple reasons. But you know why people listen to certain love songs? Because they want to remember memories from the past. Why do people watch certain love stories, love movies? Why do they read certain books? There's something in some kind of love and flame. And maybe it's not a person. It could be a favorite car, truck, jeep, motorcycle, who knows? I'm sure that's what we do when we turn on the love music. We're thinking, oh, I can't wait to ride my bike. I love you, bike, right? But one of the top reasons people do reminisce and listen to love music, it's because to remember something in the past. And there's certain feelings. Actually, there's oxytocin and dopamine that gets released. When we're watching, it's, this makes me feel so good. Where's the tissue? Where's the chocolate? Where's the ice cream? Because it reminds us of something in the past. But of course, the things that we've learned in life is how many of us, there are good things in the past that hold us from the present and even in the future. There are good, bad, and ugly things all in the past, but they're holding us. They're holding us from this present moment and even in the future. There's many people in our world today who struggle to see a bright future. You know, there's a lot of things happening in our world today. There's a lot of craziness happening in our world as we speak. It's been going on. But for most of us in here to understand, you know what? Fear has been a message for a long time. And no matter who's in the government and who's running our country, fear has been a message used by a lot of people. And it's still being used today. Whether we're right, left, front, back, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're bald or have hair. There is a message of fear today that is trying to cripple the country once again. And so this morning, as we were thinking about love, it's not to understand love, it's not just for husband and wife. It's not just in friends. It's not just in family. It's not just in the things that we like to do, like our bikes, like my Jeep, like things that we like to do every single day, like eat food, which is such a blessing. But love, one of the greatest things about love is if I always continue to look back, I'll never be able to fully embrace the moment. And if you have anybody in your life, friend, family, kids, dog, cat, you will never, ever, doesn't matter who or what it is, if it's always looking back, you never can embrace the moment. For this lady in this story, she heard from an angel. She heard there was an angel shining bright. There was an angel who blinded men because they wanted to do weird things. This angel spoke and gave clear instructions, but no matter how clear the instructions were, she lost her life because she didn't listen. You know, Jesus said a few times when he was here, he said, those who have ears to hear. Well, those who have ears to hear, I'm pretty sure all of us have ears. Now, there could be people, but the number is very small, who don't have ears. The majority of people have ears. But what Jesus was saying, it's those who want to listen. Because there's things that Jesus and his words say that we don't want to listen to. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, which we all do, must learn to listen and obey. This lady in this story, unfortunately, she lost her life, and then weirdness happened with her kids down the road, but we're not going to go there either. She turned into a pillar of salt. And if you think of pillar of salt for a second, salt for many people is a wonderful ingredient that goes in food, goes in, we find it in the oceans. It's just all over. But salt, when you put it on something, typically what does it do? It dissolves. If you were to have a pile of salt on the ground and wind comes, some of it, most of it, maybe some will remain. It's going to be what? It's going to be blown away. And what we fail to realize with this second image of love, many of us, our lives are being destroyed. Our lives are being blown away. Many lives are being dissolved, even though we don't think they're being dissolved, because this fake image of love of the past that we keep holding onto. This morning, our third story, Genesis 19. That evening, as we continue on, I know there's a couple weird stories this morning. Genesis 19, verse 1. That evening, two angels came to the entrance of the city of Sodom. Lot was sitting there, and when he saw them, he stood up to meet them. He welcomed them and bowed with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, come to my home to wash your feet and be my guest for the night. You may then get up early and be on your way again. Oh, no, they replied. We'll just spend the night out here in the city square. But Lot insisted. So at last they went home with Lot. Lot prepared a feast for them, complete with fresh bread made without yeast, and they ate. But before they retired for the night, all the men of Sodom, young and old, came from all over the city, surrounded the house, and they shouted to Lot, what are the men who came to spend the night with you? What are they doing? Bring them out so we can have sex with them. So Lot stepped outside to talk to them, shutting the door behind him. Please, my brothers, don't do such a wicked thing. Look, I have two virgin daughters. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do with them as you wish. But please leave these men alone, for they are my guests and are under my protection. So the third image this morning, we see two things happen here. One, you had a confused bunch of individuals who didn't know who they were. And secondly, you had a confused man who valued the guests in his home over the two daughters that he had. So this third image of love is confusion. And there's many confused people, unfortunately, in our world today. In this story, we had a dad, out of fear, he wasn't willing to protect his two daughters. He was willing to put them into danger because he cared and valued for something else. Sometimes what we don't see, fear, man, it is so dangerous. You know, people say worry is good, fear is good, it's good to be worried, it's good to be afraid. Really, it isn't. Fear and worry is so destructive. we see that this man in the story, I don't know, and again, it gets awkward as the story goes on, but I'm sure the daughters never forgave their dad for the comment that he made in this story right here and now. And there's people in our lives that, even though we all should forgive, let's remind ourselves, Jesus said, forgive and you'll be forgiven. But how many men and women today are still holding on to one thing that somebody said to them? And sometimes what we don't realize is the one thing was said, again, because someone was either confused, insecure, hurt, out of fear. And so we will not forgive them. No matter what they were going through, it still wasn't right to be said, right? These men in this story, they wanted to take advantage of the angels. And the crazy part of the whole thing is, as soon as they said this, and as soon as Lot said that, the angels blinded all the eyes of the evil men outside. If we allow God to just work and move and not take things into our own hands, he blinded those men. Lot should have never said what he said, but he did, because he didn't trust the angels and the people that he had in his house. Out of fear, he valued someone. And sometimes in relationships, in marriage, in friendships, sometimes when we start to value other things or other people, then marriages and friendships start to deteriorate. And even fear will lead us sometimes to allow image and relationships, friendships to deteriorate because there's something that we're afraid of. All of us this morning, I think, are afraid to lose the people that we love. I think this morning there's a lot of things that none of us publicly want to admit, but there's so many fears that we have. Losing loved ones, you know, I don't ever want to lose my wife, my kids, my two fluffy dogs. Of course, right now I could say maybe I could get rid of the fluffy dogs. My boy dog's been up for two nights in a row, barking, howling, so it's been fun. But anyway, on most days, always my wife and always my kids. I don't ever want to live away from them. And my two fluffies on most days. But how many of us have unfortunately accepted and succumbed to fear and confusion and maybe started to value other things than what was right in front of us? The third image of love that many of us unfortunately get used to is confusion and fear. Our fourth image, if you go to John chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and he taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down. He wrote on the ground with his finger. The law of Moses says that you must stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something that he could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and he wrote on the dust with his finger again. And so this fourth image of love is sometimes, unfortunately, people get stuck with this image of, like the men in this story, I'm going to constantly point out what's wrong in others, but I never will see the wrong in myself. And how many marriages and how many friendships and how many things in life fail because I'm constantly pointing out the wrong in others, but I'm never seeing the wrong within me. These guys called the religious leaders, fancy title, they had fancy clothes, they had BMWs, they had helicopters, they had all kinds of fancy things back in the day. But it was all for show. They knew Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, first five books of the Bible. They studied it, they knew it, they memorized it, they had all these things down. But no matter how much of the law they read and understood and memorized, man, they were horrible at just understanding the truth. No matter how good, no matter how perfect they thought that they were inside, they ignored the truth and what God had said. And so these men lived a life, I'd rather point out the wrong in you than see the wrong I see in myself. There are so many different images of love that every single one of us, we've learned, we've accepted. And again, this is not just for, you know, marriage and friendship, but we all love someone or something. We all love someone or something. And unfortunately, different images, what's been shoved down our necks, what has been forced into our ears. There's so many different things this morning that have destroyed the correct, the real definition of what love is, the real image of what love looks like. And so this morning, many of us, these four images, just to point out that some of us are confused about who we are and how to love. Some of us love out of fear and not trust. That some of us this morning were caught up on what we see instead of what we should give. And instead, some of us, lastly, the image of I'd rather point out what's wrong than instead of pointing out what's right. And every one of us, you know, the greatest thing is today's not over. Tomorrow hasn't happened. And so we can stop if there's any. And there's only four. There's lists. Could go on and on and on about things that maybe inside of myself that I should change, that I should see change. Four images of love that no matter what social media tells you is right, there's a lot of things wrong. There's many TV shows that portray what love is. You know, for Americans, I don't know if you know this, 50% of the first marriages in America end in divorce. The second marriage and third marriage goes up to 67 and 75%. It's crazy. So no matter how many love songs we've memorized, people haven't gotten better at any love. No matter how many movies we watched, doesn't mean we've become better at being a husband, wife, and a parent and loving life. No matter how much time we've spent reading and diving into love, love has not gotten any better. And then you know what, unfortunately, sometimes young kids have done today, because they look at old people, not old, because we're not old, but older. What younger people have done is they look at people who are older and say, man, I thought they had the perfect love, the perfect life. It was true love, but it ended, and then it ended again, and then it ended again. So, you know, young people are saying today, might as well not get married, because the older-ish people have given a bad example of what love is. There are so many images of love this morning. There's so many stories. And there's so many images that unfortunately have been placed upon our heads, our thoughts, our lives, and our feeling. But to ask ourselves as we pause before we get into communion is, do I have the correct image of what love is? Am I portraying this morning what the correct image of love is? Let me ask a question. How many of us have rules for our own households? How many of us have rules for our kids? And if rules are broken, what happens? There are consequences. See, in the Old Testament, the Bible, God set up rules and laws that he expected to be followed. There was 10 commandments. Do not set any image or God in front of me. Because back then, even then, this goes back 5,000-6,000 years ago, everyone knew that there was more to life than just what we see. Everyone back then, they knew there was so much far more to life than what I see. And so they started thinking, wow, the sun looks nice. Let's make a statue and let's worship the sun. The moon, it's so beautiful when it's out and it's full and the werewolves are barking and howling and all those things. Let's make a statue for that. Rain, wow, rain is amazing. We need it to water for our crops. Let's make a god and statue out of rain. They started making gods for every single thing that they saw. Because these things, it felt like to them, there is more to life than what we see. God established in the Old Testament the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, he knew that unfortunately every single person at some point would probably fail at least one commandment. And he said, if you break one, it's like breaking them all. Just like in our house. Now, we have rules. And everyone has rules in their house. And sometimes maybe there's little rules and big rules that if one broken, maybe if it's just a small kind of rule, and maybe if we're in a good mood, it's like, okay, we'll let you slide this time, right? But then if there's a really big one, we're like, oh boy, you're going to pay today, right? You are going to pay today. When rules are broken, there's consequences. And so God established the law to point out, to point to the future, the plan that he had created, the plan that he'd put in place. The Bible says that if you break one law, One commandment, you're subject to death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life comes from only Christ Jesus. We know that God, we're all born, the Bible says, imperfect, but yet his perfection makes us perfect. And so as God wrote the law, he also put into place the sacrifice. They created a temple like a church, and people would come and they would make sacrifices as they would make mistakes yearly, sometimes more than that. They would come and offer these sacrifices to say, I'm a sinner. God, please forgive me. And every single thing that God did, the law, the temple, the church, the sacrifice, was to point to this image that I just showed, which it could be considered gross, but it's really the purest definition of what true love is. God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for my sins so that I don't have to pay for my sins. That whoever takes the cross, this image of love, into their heart, mind, and soul and says, I believe and I'm going to follow from what I believe, will become a person who is saved. And so this morning, as we start to wrap up, you know, the enemy, if his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, the enemy has warped the version of what love is. I don't know if you know, but there is a theme out there today that there is a modern kind of love. A modern love. And what is a modern kind of love? You know, in the day, many of us, when we did vows, it was till death do us part, right? But today, people who want the modern kind of love, the love that they see on their phone, the love that they see on TV, the love that they're hearing about, you know what this kind of modern love is? It's a love that fits my life. It's a love that fits my independence. It's a love that feels the need for companionship when I need it, because I may not need it every day. Modern love, everything that I need. It's a perfect partner. It doesn't evolve around sacrificing, death to us part. It's love for what I can get. And unfortunately, this is the love that's being preached and taught everywhere you go today. In the old day, and many people say, you know, some young people say, older people, old things are crazy. But I don't know about you, marriage, life, friendship, love, it's not what we can get out of our marriage and our partner and our friends. But the most important thing on earth is learning, what can I give? Because the most rewarding thing at the end of the day, it's not about me, but it's about you. And it's, what am I doing and what am I giving to you? And so we have to be careful, because there are different images of love that are being stuffed down every one of our necks this morning. There are different images that are displayed everywhere we go and everything that we do as we get in the elevator. And then we start singing along to that song, and oxytocin's released and dopamine. And we're like, ooh, taken back. Hallelujah. But the question becomes is, what kind of image of love do I live by? You know, I don't know if you know this, but our country, 2025, we have a little bit of debt in our country. It is $36.22 trillion in a debt that America is in. Sounds like a lot of money. Last year, we paid $870 billion. In interest on the debt alone. This year, January 29th, 2025, $36.22 trillion in debt. Last year, on that debt, we paid $870 billion in interest on that debt. Well, if every one of us in the world paid $110,000, we could get out of debt. How many of us would like to do that for America? Let's all contribute $110,000. We got to find it first, right? Maybe a couple banks we can borrow from, or... Not every one of us, and most of us, don't have $110,000 to pay the government so they can get out of debt. And so this debt remains. This morning, all the images that were portrayed and talked about maybe could remind us of some certain things that we deal with in life. Maybe this morning there's certain images and stories that are in here that could speak, that could remind us. Maybe there's some debt that I have when it comes to compared to my relationship with my Heavenly Father, God. God has some rules for me. God has some boundaries for me. But sometimes, you know, it was cool when you're in high school. Rules need to be broken. Rules are lame. Let's break all the rules. during high school. I mean, not all of us, but some of us in high school, that's what it was. Let's break as many rules as we possibly can. And even our parents' rules. Shame on us. And sometimes people, we make so many excuses for every bad choice. Well, you did it, so I'm going to do it. They did it, so I'm going to do it. This is what the world says acceptable, so I'm going to be like that as well. There's so many excuses that run around our head because we've accepted this false image, truly, of what love is. But all of these false images in our head, they stand up to paint a message, to speak. Is there anything in me? Is there any debt in me that I have yet turned over to God? God will forgive all my debts. God will wash all my debts away clean. He'll forgive me. He'll cleanse me. And then he'll forget about it as far as the east is from the west. But are there any debts that I'm still trying to hold on to? Have I truly been forgiven? And one of the greatest ways I think we know if we've been forgiven is two things. One of our last stories that we read is the religious, they love to point out the wrong in others but never see the wrong in themselves. And if we still continue to speak about the wrong in others but not talk about the wrong in ourselves, then there is an image problem. And secondly, many of us, when we've experienced things in life that we shouldn't have, first, many have felt guilty. And there's people today that still feel guilty for something they did or said 35 years ago. But then there are some people that as they start to do wrong, they don't want to feel guilty anymore, and that guilt turns to arrogance. And so we have many arrogant people in our world today who they're doing wrong, they know it's wrong, they have every excuse for why it's wrong, and then they hide from the truth. So as we wrap up this morning, there's two things that we ask ourselves. Everybody in the world wants love. Everybody in the world wants love, wants to feel love, receive love, to be trusted, to be trustworthy, to honor, to love, to respect, to have feelings, warm, fuzzy feelings with popcorn and goodness and all that fun stuff. But not every one of us want to accept the real meaning of love. And so we wrap up with these last verses. John 3:16. This is how God loved the world. He gave. This is how God loved the world. He gave. This is how God loved the world. He gave. His one and only. Something super important to him. So that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So as we wrap up this morning, the number one we say to ourselves is, if I want to be someone who experiences true love, one, I have to fall in love with what the real image of love is, which is God the Father giving us his son, Jesus. God gave his son. And it says that it's his only son. Why? To point out that how many of us know I have the privilege of having two sons, and both of them are extremely important to me. But if I had one, if I had one daughter, if I had one kid, no matter how many I have, and I have five and two dogs. But anyway, every one of my kids are extremely important to me, just like I have one wife. Don't need more than one. One is plenty. Because Kim is everything. Kim is everything that I need as a wife. But God gave his one and only son to point out one is really important. And so I'm giving what's really important to me, and I'm giving it, and I'm giving him to you. True love needs to be embraced by the story in the gospel of Jesus Christ, how God gave his one and only son. True love, I can't be the man, you can't be the woman, the girl, the teenager. We can't be the adults. We can't be the husband, wife. We can't be the parents. We can't be the employee. We can't be anything in this life fulfilling until we understand this perfect image of love. And it means that I give my all. Do we have bad days? Absolutely. Do we make mistakes? Many people do. Does it mean we dwell on mistakes? God forgives and forgets, and so we move on. Just like God forgives us, we forgive. But we continue to focus on what God has given to me. What God gives to me. And so God gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son Jesus into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes, but anyone who does not believe him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Judgments based on this fact: God's light, Jesus, he came into the world, but people love darkness more than they love light. Their actions were wrong and evil, and all who do wrong hate the light because they refuse to go to it. They don't want to get around that person because they bother me for fear that maybe something will be exposed. But those who do what's right, they come to the light. They want to be around the light. They come to church because they want to see and do and hear what God wants. This morning that you say, God, if I've set up an image of love that is incorrect in my life, and if I've been wrong, if I've been guilty, if I've done things that I shouldn't have done, if I've said things, if I've been controlling, if fear has led my life, God, forgive me for setting up this bad image of love. God, help me to stay connected to the perfect image of love. And then secondly, understand this morning that I hope through the text, and I hope through the stories, and I hope through everything you heard this morning, there's only one place you can go to be forgiven, and it's through Jesus Christ. And if your debts aren't fully forgiven and cleansed through him, Jesus Christ, the Bible says when you believe and confess. And in order to believe and confess, that means that you accept the word of God, you accept the story, and you accept Jesus. He says, I stand at the door of your heart, and I knock, and he's bringing cookies, fresh baked, chocolate chip, oatmeal raisin, and he's bringing cupcakes, and he says, I want to come in to every part of your life. Because with many of us in apartments, mobile homes, trailers, and even houses, we know that there are doors that we leave open and doors that we close. And as some of us this morning, we've asked Jesus into our heart, but then we left certain doors closed because, I can't go there. Like Lot's wife, there's something in the past I'm not going to let go of. I'm holding tight. And so this morning, as we played this last song, if you're here and God is speaking to you, and I know that he is, if God is stirring something inside of you, allow the words, allow the Holy Spirit to speak, to stir, and keep moving. That if you need to ask for forgiveness, say, God, forgive me for this in my life. And if I've set up, God, bad images in my life of what love is, God, forgive me. God, help me. Thank you so much, Jesus, because of what God has given in his one and only Son. To remind ourselves this morning on Communion Sunday, thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. Kind of a serious thought this morning to understand, to remind myself, sin has consequences. And if I'm ever arrogant about sin, if I'm ever making excuses, I can do this bad thing because they did, because they said, because I see it here. Understand, sin has a price to pay. Sin has a price to pay. But thank God, he sent his son Jesus for me.